Good afternoon all, and welcome. Let's just pray before we start. Dear Lord, we just pray that as your word goes out, Lord, as we listen, that it will penetrate our hearts. That, Lord, we will listen to you, that our minds will be open to what you have to say to us today. That, Lord, we can draw closer to you, have a better relationship, Lord. That we can learn what you want us to learn, and that we may learn to be humble people. Amen. Okay, today we're talking about seeking humility, avoiding pride. Okay, today I want to talk about humility and the problem we have with pride creeping into the church. First, I want to look at the problem, then we shall look at the solution. So let's talk about the many faces of pride. In Proverbs 16, verse 18, in the Message Bible, it says, "First pride, then the crash. The bigger the ego, the harder the fall." There is much said about pride all the way through the Bible, and that is one thing that God hates. And there is also many examples where pride had a disastrous effect. Just read the story of King Nebuchadnezzar, where through his pride, he was made to act and live like a wild animal for many years. So what are some of the sources of pride? Firstly, wealth and skill. It's easy for us to be proud of what we own. And sometimes we can be so proud we put what we have, including relationships, like our husband or wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, or even our family, before God. God is a jealous God. He will not stand for this. If we say we love him and will serve him, he expects us to put him first in all our lives. If we don't, then God may take away whatever object or person stands in the way between us and himself. He may take it away so that we can once again put him first. Whatever holds more importance to us than God is an idol. And we know what happened to the Israelites when they created the golden calf as an idol at Mount Sinai. The earth opened up and swallowed the calf, and some of them were even destroyed. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? The next thing is beauty. Now, some people might think that beauty can't be prideful, but people can be very proud of their beauty. I mean, beauty can be a good thing. But if we think too much of ourselves, it can cause us to become superficial and shallow and degrade anyone who is not as attractive as ourselves. One thing can be a blessing, but can become a curse to us. Next thing is position and power. In the movie Spider-Man, he said, "With great power comes great responsibility." It's all too easy to gain power and position and lord it over those around us and make them feel inferior to us. This gains us no favour and can often lead to becoming a very lonely person. What else can cause pride? How about wisdom? Wisdom, it's nice to have a lot of wisdom, and we are able to give advice to people. But if we become proud of our wisdom, we may think we are the smartest or the wisest person who can give advice to anyone, and that will be good advice. But that advice, through pride, can be tainted. And it may no longer help people, but it might hinder them. And where it should free someone, it might bind them. Wisdom comes from God, and we should not think ourselves wiser than we are. So says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. Next thing we'll be prideful about is religion. Now, Jesus explains this problem with pride and religion in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 18, where he told this story to some who had great confidence and their own righteousness, and scorned everyone else. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer: "I thank you, God, that I am not a sinner like everyone else. For I don't cheat, I don't sin, and I don't commit adultery. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give you a tenth of my income." But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven. As he prayed, instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, "O God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner." I tell you, the sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Finally, there is a pride that is not so obvious, but if not noticed, creeps into our lives and makes us self-righteous. I have seen it in many churches that someone who is considered to be an outcast comes in and treated with disdain and contempt. They might be a smelly person, they might be drunk or unkept, a prostitute, a drug user or someone that society has given up on. In these situations, Christians can be, but not all, but some Christians can be the most hurtful and brutal people. When dressed in nice clothes and their clean hands and faces, they despise these people, thinking they are better than these outcasts, and wonder why they are here in this nice, clean church. It seems it is easy for us as Christians to forget where we came from, that these outcasts were once us. I mean, we may not have done what they have, we may not have ever been drug users or prostitutes or anything that we consider so bad, but as sinners, were we any better than these outcasts? Yet we develop this attitude as if we were never that bad or dysfunctional. Are these not the people that Jesus came to save? Are the outcasts not the people that Jesus went to the houses of and ate meals with? It is time for us, church, to get off our high horses and remember that it is Jesus who makes us righteous, and nothing that we have done in ourselves can make us that way, because there is no way we can achieve in our own strength to become righteous and blameless before God. So what does pride do to us? Pride inhibits Christian harmony. In Romans 16 says, "Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited." It corrupts our ability to show true love. Love is not proud, as says in 1 Corinthians 13:4. It deceives us. "The pride of your heart has deceived you," so says Obadiah 1 verse 3. It causes us to forget God. "Then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God," says Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 14. Also in Psalms 10, verse 4, "In his pride the wicked does not seek him. In all his thoughts there is no room for God." It hardens our hearts. But Hezekiah's heart was proud, and he did not respond to the kindness shown him. 2 Chronicles 32:25. It blocks prayers. Pride is a sin, so of course it's going to block our conversation with God. It blocks healing and forgiveness. In Psalms 18 verse 27, "You rescue the humble, but you humiliate the proud." It keeps us distant from God. "For though the Lord is exalted, yet he regards the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar." Psalm 138 verse 6. And it brings ruin on our lives. Pride goes before destruction, a proud spirit before a fall. Humility. So what is humility? Well, let's talk about the solution to this dilemma of pride in the church. Humility is a quality or characteristic ascribed to a person who is considered to be humble, or so says the description in the dictionary. A humble person is generally thought to be unpretentious and modest, someone who does not think that he or she is better or more important than others. Humility comprises the following behaviour and attitudes: submission to God or legitimate authorities, such as pastors or elders of the church; recognition of virtues and talents that others possess, particularly those which surpass our own, and that's a hard one usually; and giving them honour and credit where it's due; recognition of the limits of our own talents, ability or authority, and not reaching for that which is beyond our own grasp. So what does the Bible say about humility? In Proverbs 3 verse 7 it says, "Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil." Another way to say that is not to think too highly of ourselves. In Philippians 2, chapter 2 verse 1 to 17 it says, "Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ, any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish, don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore God elevated him to the place of highest honour, and gave him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Dear friends, you always followed my instruction when I was with you, and now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and power to do what pleases him. Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one of you can criticize. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Jesus was the perfect example of a humble person, and the one word that can be substituted for the word humble is servant. Jesus told us in Mark chapter 9, verse 35, he sat down and he called the 12 disciples over to him and said, "Whoever wants to be the first must take last place and be the servant of everyone else." So what is the benefit of humility? Well, in Matthew 23, verse 12, it says, Jesus tells us, "Those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." God can't use people who are puffed up and full of their own esteem or pride. He needs empty vessels. God wants to use everyone, so sometimes if we get too proud, he has to knock us down a few pegs, so that we can see the world as it really is. I've been around the room of Pow Talk a while, and to many churches I have heard and seen the same things. People are so proud of their titles, self-proclaimed prophets or apostles, teachers and preachers. I tell you the truth, if I'm introduced to someone, I don't want to hear them say, "I'm apostle so-and-so," or "I'm a prophet." By the very fact that they are telling me their title, I would say that they aren't what they claim to be. If someone is really an apostle or prophet, a teacher, preacher, pastor, evangelist, the words they say and the way they behave and live their lives will show me who they really are. It will be very easy for me to see the calling on lives. They won't have to tell me what their title is. I'd say to any person, if they come up to me and say, "I'm a humble person," I would say, "Prove to me that you're humble, and I'll prove that you're not." Humility isn't something that we can prove or that we should have to. It's a way of life. It's not something you can prove by the words we say. I mean, I bet you've never been introduced to someone and they have said, "Hi, my name is so-and-so and I'm a servant." No one is proud in a bad way to be a servant, because it goes against the very nature of what being a servant is all about. Humility is one of the biggest things needed in today's churches. I've heard too many times people as a church say, "We're going to do this," or "We're going to do that. We are going to save lots of people," or "We're going to plant a bunch of churches." As a body of Christ, the church will do nothing by themselves. Only through God can it be achieved. Oh, but you might think that that's what they meant when they said that. But if that is true, why did they start with "we" or "I" and make it about us or them? Why not say, "God will do it. God will use us to do this"? Everything must start and end with God. Paul, one of our greatest examples of a Christian and follower of Christ, referred to himself as a servant of God. He wrote in Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Some of the lines to a favourite song of mine by Casting Crowns was, "Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I'm a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapour in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling, and you catch me when I'm falling, and you've told me who I am. I am yours." Once we become a Christian, we give our lives to God. We are no longer our own personal... They're no longer our personal lives. They're not ours to do with what we please. And yet how often can each of us fall into the thinking that we will do what we want in this life, not what God wants? Here's a couple of verses that talk about humility and pride. Romans 3 verse 27 says, "Can we boast then that we have done anything to be accepted by God? No, because our acquittal is not based on obeying the law, it is based on faith." Romans 4 verse 2 says, if his good deeds had made him acceptable to God, he would have had something to boast about, but that was not God's way. And Romans 15 verse 18 says, yet I dare not boast about anything except what Christ has done through me, bringing the Gentiles to God by my message and by the way I worked among them. I know that there was a time when I struggled with pride. I used to play competition snooker, and admittedly, I was good at it. I had a natural flair. But one day I was very proud of how well I could play. And that day, I played the worst I'd ever played in my whole life. I lost every game I played. I could not make any shots. God showed me and taught me a lesson that day. He would not stand for my pride, and he didn't want me to become a person who stood in his own accomplishments. Another time I struggled with a different type of pride. I used to do the multimedia for a church where I used to live. I found myself struggling with unhappiness and lack of meaning in my life. I was the best person for the job, and everyone was amazed at what was shown in the church. My problem is that I had come to find my identity in my ministry, instead of finding my identity in God. So my pride of the job title of multimedia guy swallowed me up, and my life became empty and meaningless. So what's the best way to become humble? Firstly, don't tell people you want to become humble. I mean, if you're doing it to gain approval, your motive is wrong in the first place. As I said before, the best word to describe humility is servanthood. If we want to be great in God's kingdom, we have to learn to be servants of all. But not just servants who do and then grumble about it, but happy servants, finding our joy in serving others. If we are not joyful about serving, we won't be humble, we're just going to grumble. God is looking for us to be obedient in serving others. But obedience without joy is empty servitude, and that's not what God wants. Servanthood goes against our natural tendency, especially if we think the person or people we're serving don't deserve it. But that's not for us to judge. God sees all that we do, and we should do it for him in obedience with what the word says. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. So it says in chapter 20, verse 28. In John chapter 12, verse 26, it says, anyone who wants to be my disciple must follow me, because my servants must be where I am, and the Father will honour anyone who serves me. So more or less, we have to seek after Jesus' example. We have to be servants, not serving ourselves, but serving others. Looking to see how we can work for God in the lives of others, and how we can seek a closer relationship with him. So I hope that we'll all strive for a closer relationship with God, and to read and discover by Jesus' example what it really means to be humble and be a servant. Well, let's just pray. Lord, I just pray that the people who are listening to this, Lord, that your word will bear fruit in their heart. That, Lord, they will seek to be servants of all, Lord. They won't seek after fame or glory or material possessions. Lord, they won't seek after their own desires. That, Lord, they will seek after what you want for their lives. That they will seek to help others and to serve them with joy and obedience, Lord. We just pray that, Lord, you help the people hearing this to be humble people, to put aside all pride and realize that nothing they do is in their own strength, but it's through Christ who gives them strength. We just pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.